Few weeks, we've really put the emphasis on our ministry to other people. And rightly so, because God is moving us out. But at the same time, the Lord wants to minister to us as His children. And I believe that's what He wants to do this morning. He wants to speak to us in ways that will really encourage us and build us up as the beloved ones that we are. Beloved to Him. And I want to share with you this morning the secret of having a really close and intimate relationship with Jesus. If you receive and accept this word that I speak to you this morning, you are going to enjoy an intimate relationship, a really close relationship with Him from this morning onwards. That was worth an hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 1. I have at long last started writing my book on John. I've been longing to do this for many, many years. And you know, even though I've lived in this gospel for the last 40, 50 years, I've really, when you get down to writing it, you see more and more and more goodies that are there. I just want to share something, it's not something new to me or to you, I expect, but something that impacted me in a new way. Verse 43 of chapter 1 of John. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Now, that's the first thing. How do you know me? Can we just put up those words? How do you know me? Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, I think he was probably smiling at this point, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." How do you know me? That was the thing that hit Nathanael, who was probably the same person as Bartholomew in the list of the disciples. How do you know me? Then if we go on to chapter 2, Jesus has cleansed the temple. All kinds of interesting things are happening as a result. Then it says in verse 23, "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man." Let's have that up. He knew what was in a man. How do you know me? Well, he knew all men, and he knew what was in a man. If we go on to chapter 4, we have this wonderful encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. There's no time really to read the whole thing. And we know that after this encounter, the woman went back into the village, where of course she was a notorious woman. But she said in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So let's add that. He told me everything I ever did. Now, these three statements all refer to Jesus in his humanity. The thing that people were discovering when they met Jesus, even those that had never encountered him before, was that he knew everything about them. He could discern everything. I mean, what a testimony from this woman. He told me everything I ever did. Of course, in these encounters, a lot more would have been happening and have been said than we have in the biblical record. This is obviously, when you write down something like this, you're just writing down the mere bones of what happens. It's like a brief summary. And here this woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And Nathanael is saying, how do you know me? From just seeing me sitting under a tree. How can you tell everything about me? And John, of course, who is writing this gospel account, he says this of Jesus, that he knew all men, and he knew what was in a man or woman. So, if that was true of Jesus in the limitations of his humanity, how much more true must it be of him in his glory? Without those limitations, his knowledge knows no limits. So you see, for every one of us, we could say, Lord, how do you know me? Lord, you know everything about me. You know what is in me. Like that woman, if Jesus was standing here today, he could tell every single one of us everything we ever did. Now, if you wanted a really close, loving, intimate relationship with someone, what would you say was the essence of that? Well, you would say if you know someone that closely, you really know them. You know what is in them. And you know the things they do. In fact, the closer you are to them, the more you know about them, what is in them, and what they do. So it's true that no matter how much you think you know Jesus or how close you believe your relationship to him is, looking at it from his point of view, he knows you. He knows this morning what is in you. He knows everything that you have done in the whole of your life. Now, this week, there's nothing about you or what goes on in you or what you have done that he doesn't know. Now, of course, if you live in sin, that's a threat. You say, well, I don't want God to know what's going on in me. Well, unfortunately, he does, whether you like it or not. But you see, I think for us who want to live as the children of God and want to really glorify God in our lives, it's not a threat, it's a wonderful truth. Because, you see, no matter what your relationship is like with him, his relationship with you is so intimate that he knows you. He knows what is in you. And he knows everything you ever do. Now, of course, when you think about it, that must be the case if he lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you already, looking at it from Jesus' perspective, you already have such a wonderful, intimate relationship with Jesus. It wouldn't be possible from his side of things to have a more intimate relationship with you because he lives in you, he knows you, he understands you, he knows everything that goes on in you, he knows everything that you do. How he must love you to care that much about you. It means, therefore, you see, that when you pray, you never have to try to impress upon God your circumstances. You don't have to go into a long description of what is happening or what this one's done to you or what that one said or what problem you're facing or what need you have. What a waste of time when he already knows it. But if he knows all about this, then out of his great and wonderful love for you, then in his love, he wants to do something about it. And that's the kind of prayer that Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. Not long prayers where you just rehearse all the problems to the Lord, but you say, Lord, you know. I thank you that you know. I thank you that you care. I thank you that you're involved because you live in me. If you turn to Psalm 139, you'll discover that this is no new thing about God. David says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Let's have that up. You know me. That's the fourth truth I want you to get hold of. It has to be personal for each one of us. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Because now he's not on earth knowing us, but he's in heaven, but he can still perceive our thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Now look at verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Lord, David is saying, I cannot understand why you should care about me so much to know about me like you do. You just know everything about me. You know my thoughts. You know my desires. You know my motives. You know when I'm going out, when I'm coming in, when I'm standing up, when I'm sitting down, when I'm lying down. You know my words even before I speak them. You even know how many hairs are on my head. How you must love me to know all that about me, to care enough about me to know all that. I mean, how can we ever question that God loves us, even when the most difficult things are happening to us? I've had a few challenging things happen to me recently, in many ways. And, you know, one thing I learned over the years is when people abuse you, despise you, speak against you, reject you, whatever they do to you, it doesn't matter. You never have to defend yourself. When Jesus was being falsely accused, he never defended himself. I always refuse to defend myself when people charge me falsely with things. You don't have to defend yourself. And years ago, when this first happened to me, God said to me, "Colin, I know the truth. You know the truth. That's all that matters. Because in the end, I always vindicate the truth. Because I am the truth." So you see, sometimes we get all upset and all agitated and all concerned. And actually, it's all right. God's in control. God's in charge. He is the Lord of peace. And you'll lose your peace if you try to defend yourself and you know, if you feel all aggrieved, hurt. But no, the scripture says, Jesus says, forgive. And just leave it in my hands. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Are you getting something here? Praise God. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Verse 11, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am." So, you know, if you're going to teach the word of God, you're going to get some stick. "Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard," or he is able to keep, "what I have entrusted to him for that day." Now, there's a spiritual principle that Paul is teaching this young apostle. He's saying, here is a principle for you to get hold of. I've discovered that it doesn't matter what happens to me. And this is a word not just about preachers, teachers, apostles. This is a word for all of us. So it doesn't matter what happens. I know that God is able to guard. He's able to keep all that I entrust to him every day. Why? Because he knows. He knows me. He knows my thoughts. He knows all about the situation. He knows about the circumstances. If he knows everything, he knows where I am. He knows what's happening to me. He knows those around me. He knows the help I need. He knows the provision I need. He knows. Therefore, he is able to keep what I entrust to him every day of my life. So you see, we have the basis of this intimate relationship because he knows. So if he knows, then I can entrust to him my life, my circumstances, my needs, my relationships, everything I do day by day. He knows and he cares. And if I entrust it to him, he will undertake for me. I think it's wonderful. Because you see, this is the basis not only of having a wonderful, intimate relationship with God in prayer, but it's the basis of having a relationship that works in practice. You go out into every day entrusting to Him yourself and what is happening to you, and He is able to guard you. He is able to keep you. He is able to provide for you. He knows, because He understands what's going on within you. He always knows the best way to answer you. Sometimes, you know, we think we know better than God, and we get all upset because He's not working out a situation in the way that we think He ought to, or in the time scale that we want Him to. But I believe God's wisdom is greater than ours. And I believe that in His love for me, He sometimes knows better for what I need than I can understand myself. I mean, I would have said, you know, last year, Lord, heal me and heal me quickly. And God said, I'm going to heal you, but I'm going to heal you thoroughly. You see, He always knows the right way to go about things. And it's wonderful. Let's turn just to Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not. Oh-ho! I mean, if He knows me, if He understands me, if He knows everything that's going on in my life, if He is with me always, if He is in me by the power of His Spirit, why should I be afraid? Amen. Fear not. I have redeemed you. Listen, we're not talking about something that needs to happen to you. We're not talking this morning about something you need to do in order to get a better relationship with God. We're simply talking about what already is. He already knows you. He already understands you. He already knows your thoughts from afar. He already knows your words before they're on your lips. He already understands everything about you. It's a fact. It's a truth. It's reality. So fear not. I have redeemed you. I paid the price for you. Hallelujah. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Oh, this scripture has lived in my heart for 40, 50 years. I come back again and again and again and again to this verse. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. I know you. I know who I have called. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I have redeemed you. You know, when I came to know the Lord as a kid, somewhere around the age of 10 or so, this truth sort of hit me. I mean, I didn't know anything about anything because I didn't know any evangelical believer who had ever taught me the gospel. Nobody had taught me the Word of God. I was just finding my own way with God by His grace. And this truth sort of hit me. Why should the Creator of the universe love me and want me and call me? And I just thought, what an amazing privilege to be called to serve. I didn't know how I was serving back in those days. This is very rudimentary stuff in a little lad. But I just had this tremendous sense of privilege that God had called me by name. And actually, He'd shown me His glory that we were talking about earlier. I couldn't understand anything. But I just knew the amazing privilege of it. Just imagine The one who made the stars knows your thoughts this morning. Cares enough about you to know everything that is going on in your life. Understands the problems, the pressures, the tensions. Understands. I mean, he even became man so that he could experience all these things that you experience. He was tempted in every way just as you are. He shared your weakness. He knows what it's like to be you, not just from heaven, but because he was like us. And now he's come to live in you by the power of the Spirit so he can share deeply and intimately in your life every day. He doesn't come and visit you every now and again. He lives in you. Amen. Now, there's a great hope in Scripture, a wonderful promise of where your Christian life is leading you. That you shall know him even as you are known. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'll stay with you lot as long as the Lord wants me here, but I'm looking forward to heaven after that. Why? Well, if he knows everything about me, there's going to come the time when I will know everything about him. If he understands me perfectly, there's going to come a time when I will understand him perfectly. Because I shall know him even as he knows me. I think that's wonderful. I mean, I've just got a theory. I can't sort of prove this, but I've got a theory that we will need all eternity in heaven just to know him. Just to discover all these wonderful truths of who he is, all the wonderful depth of his love that we can only just sort of get a very superficial impression of during this lifetime. You know, sometimes when I've had people come to see me and they poured out their woes and their troubles, I felt like just saying to them, he knows. This is the basis of knowing that God wants to heal you, God wants to deliver you, God wants to liberate you, provide for you, whatever it is, he knows. And I think sometimes, you know, Christians go on and on and on and on at God about their circumstances, even though Jesus said you will not be heard for your many words, because somehow they think he doesn't know. And they need to tell him all about it. What a waste of time. He knows. So when I pray, I say, Lord, you know. And you know the help I need. You know the wisdom I need. You know I need to hear something from you. You know that I need you to undertake in this. So he says, well, just entrust it to me day by day and I will undertake for it. That's how you build an intimate relationship with God. An intimate relationship with God is not just having lovely woozy feelings while you pray. I mean, I love the nice woozy feelings when I pray. But that's not the basis of relationship, because you can't go around with woozy feelings all day. You've got to have a good working relationship with God, whereby you know he's working in you and he's working through you and he's working for you. All day long. And the basis of that is you know. You know, somebody says something to you and you're all upset. And you go, oh, God, why have you allowed this? Oh, you know, don't you? He says, yes, I know, and what do I tell you to do? I tell you to forgive. So instead of getting all uptight about it, why don't you just forgive? Amen. And forgive. And forgive. How many times, Lord? 7? 70 times 7. Forgive. And forgive. And forgive. And then, Colin, I will forgive you. And forgive you. And forgive you. And forgive you. So long as you keep forgiving, I'll keep forgiving you. But if you stop forgiving, I'll stop forgiving you. It's a very simple gospel. So I've found it's very advantageous to keep forgiving. Because, you see, he knows. And he knows when I do anything wrong. And he even knows my thoughts, my wrong desires, my wrong intentions. Any wrong motive, he's on it like a flash. Woohoo! Think you could get away with that? No way. He knows. Oh, Lord, it's so good. I can't con you. I can't fool you. I can't pull the wool over your eyes, Lord. Thank you that you know. And you know because you care. Thank you that you love me so much that you know me. Now, I don't know about you, but what this does for me is to increase my desire to know him. Oh, yes, when we know him in glory, we shall know him as he is. But between now and then, there is a whole exciting process of revelation where God reveals more and more of himself that we do not yet know by experience. We can read about it all in here because this gives us a very full description of who he is. But, you know, every day, for me, I think every day as a Christian is exciting. Even when you have to go through difficult things, it's still exciting because even in the midst of the difficulties, you're going to discover something more about him and his love and his care and his power and his mercy and his grace. But you've heard me say this before, that while there's complaining and grumbling about the situation, you don't seem to get anything from him. It isn't until you begin to rejoice in the Lord always and to give thanks in all circumstances. Why is this the will of God for us in Christ Jesus? Because it doesn't matter the circumstances. He knows you. And he understands. And he knows your thoughts. And he knows your needs. He knows your desires. So you can be thankful. Lord, you know. And you care. That's why you know. And you love. That's why you care. And in your love, you always want to give by your grace. What a God. What a God. And just one more thing. What I've found over the years is that one of the most effective ways of evangelizing, especially in a one-to-one situation when you want to lead someone to the Lord or witness to them about the truth, one of the most effective things is to tell them something about themselves that only God and that person knows. And you could not know unless God had told you. Let me tell you, that helps people to know the reality of God's existence quicker than anything. You tell them something like Jesus told this woman by the well. Nobody knew about her circumstances, not this Jew just passing through who happens to have this meeting by the well when she's drawing water. What does this man know about me? But her testimony becomes to the whole of her town. He told me everything I ever did. Well, you don't need to tell somebody, but you know everything they did. But God will give you just one thing about that person, about the need. He won't tell you something, some sin or anything like that. He'll tell you something about that person that will just let them know God is real.
Yeah.
And even though that person doesn't know him, he knows. Let me tell you, if you bring a word of knowledge like that into someone's life, you bypass all those religious arguments about, well, I'd believe the Lord if there was only one church, or how do I know which religion is true? Is it the Buddhists? Is it the Muslims? Is it the Christians? It leaves aside all those rational arguments because God has used you to speak straight into the heart and the circumstances, and suddenly they're faced not with an intellectual debate about religion, but with the reality of the God who knows them. And you know, because that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, when you're in a situation like that, God will give you such a word if you ask Him to. And you'd be amazed. God just speaks into an area of need, an area of hurt. Something, just something. If there was time, I could tell you some really quite dramatic things that have happened when God's given me words of knowledge for people like that. But you go and get your own testimonies. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you just to close your eyes, because He's here, isn't He? Hello? I mean, if He knows us, He has to be here. I mean, we know He is anyway. But just close your eyes, and I just want you to start to thank Him that He knows you. Now, this word, know, in Scripture, means to have experience of and to understand fully. So just thank the Lord that He knows you and He understands you. Those of you that are facing difficult circumstances at this time, He knows. He knows. And because He knows, He cares. And because He cares, He wants to meet with you. He wants to do whatever is necessary in those circumstances. So why don't you entrust those circumstances to Him now? He is able to guard. He is able to keep what you entrust to Him day by day. That's what we saw in 2 Timothy 1. So right now, entrust yourself to Him in that situation. Entrust those circumstances. Say, Lord, You know. I don't have to complain about it. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to get all worked up about it. You know. And I entrust this situation to You right now, and I thank You that because I do that, You will guard me, You will keep me, You will work out Your purpose, Your will in the midst of those circumstances for Your glory. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Now, I want you to thank Him for this great hope that we're given in Scripture, that one day you will know Him even as He already knows you. Just thank Him for that. And Jesus when he prayed for us, when he prayed for all those who would believe in John 17, he said that he would go on, Jesus would go on revealing the Father to you. He said, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So thank the Lord that he's going to continue. Thank Jesus, he's going to continue to make the Father known to you. That what you know so far is just a little bit compared to what you're going to know. But his purpose is day by day, he reveals more and more of the Father to you. Just thank him that his promise is that he will continue to make the Father known to you in order that the same love that the Father has for the Son will be in you. Now, come on, thank him for this. Say, thank you, Father. Thank you that Jesus is making you known to me so that your love for Jesus can be in me. That I can love him in the same way that you love him because he reveals more and more and more of you to me. And then he says that I myself may be in them. So just thank Jesus that he's revealing more and more and more of the truth of God, of the love of God, of the wisdom of God, and the power of God, that he may be in you in every circumstance of your life. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Come on, let's praise him. We can do better than this. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, now just before we finish, keep your eyes closed. There's one more thing I want you to do. I want you to thank the Lord that nobody on the whole of this planet, there is nobody in this world that has, from God's point of view, a more intimate relationship with him than you. Because he knows everything about you. So I want you to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have such a wonderful, intimate relationship with you that you are so close to me. You live in me. You know my thoughts. You know my words before I speak them. You know everything about what I do, all my desires, all my motives. Oh, Lord, thank you. Nobody has a closer relationship with you than that. Hallelujah. Oh, I am so blessed. I am so privileged. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I want to live day by day in the good of that intimate relationship. And I want to learn to live in that intimacy, in that closeness, in that care with you day by day. And I praise you. I bless you. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now just keep your eyes closed for a minute. You see, there may be somebody that doesn't know him at all in a personal way. Maybe you've been brought by a friend. And this is the first time you realize, well, wait a minute. Nathanael didn't know Jesus. He wasn't a believer. When Jesus saw him under the tree, knew everything about him. That woman, she was a sinner. She'd lived in grievous sin for many years. And yet Jesus knew her, reached out to her in his love. He wanted her to know him. So there may be somebody here, you don't know him. But he knows you. And the reason why you're here, whether you understand that or not, the reason why you're here this morning is because he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to start to know him. Now, if that's you, I want you, just where you are, to pray with me for a moment in a very simple way and say, Lord Jesus, I hear this morning what the preacher has said, what your word declares in the Bible, that you know me. I've never understood that before, Lord. But thank you that you care about me, that you brought me here this morning to hear this message, that you know me, you care about me, and you love me. Now, Lord, I want to get to know you. I want to know your love for me. I want to begin to have a real relationship with you. So I want you to forgive me for all those things you know that have grieved you and displeased you. I didn't know until now, Lord, that it was possible for all those things to be forgiven. But I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to give me a new start to my life today, where instead of shutting you out, I know how much you care for me. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, everybody's got their eyes closed, nobody's looking at you, I want you just to raise your hand because I want to pray for you right where you're standing. Anybody that prayed that prayer with me because you want to know him? There's one young man there. A lady over there. This is the beginning of something new for you. A new life. Anybody else besides those two? Somebody at the back, right in the back there. Is there anybody else? Now, Father, I thank you for these three people. Anybody else that secretly you're working in their heart at this moment? I thank you that a new beginning starts today in their life. That they're going to start to know you, to know your love, to know your forgiveness, and to know the freedom that only you can give. Praise your wonderful name. I think we need to thank the Lord for these three, don't you? Now, I'd ask those of you, I'd like to just shake you by the hand at the end of the service. So if you'd like to come forward, I just want to say welcome into the family of God to you three. So I saw your hand. So if you'd like to just, when the meeting ends, just come to me and we'll just pray together. And God is going to do a great and sovereign, wonderful thing in your life. Amen.